We are back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. John Ford, Riley County Commission Chair, is our guest up till the top of the hour. And we're talking about a number of things going on in the county, including facilities here. That's where we're going to go next here with our conversation. And John has some updates with some of the EMS and health department facilities here locally.
Yeah, one of the things that we discussed in June's county officials meeting is what some of those priorities are currently and are going to need to be in the future. We've addressed that, obviously, the ambulance facility is in desperate need of being replaced. There's no getting around it. I don't think you can really revamp that particular facility on site there. So we're in the process of developing something for consultants to look at a site and a space study, and potentially moving that over across the street, kind of in there with the Family Health Center over there where Wharton Manor used to be, somewhere in that location. Being able to add ambulance, some emergency management space. Our EOC used most of the space during this pandemic over at the Manhattan Fire Station. It was adequate, maybe not as appropriate. Thinking back on it for me, I've been in office now for 30 months, and I think all but nine of those have been in some kind of a form of emergency declaration or multiple forms of emergency. So that space is something that I think we really, really need. I think it's really, really important. I think we've got great personnel. We need to give them the tools and the resources to do what they need, and our time of need is in place. And we discussed moving both county EM and potentially rural fire over into that location and developing a backup dispatch that could be used if one or more of those go down. Sounds like a lot. I think it'll work in that location. I think that's the first priority that we're discussing. We can use some lost revenue funds from both the CARES Act and ARPA funds to do that and maybe incorporate a plan over the next year or two with CIP uses, maybe get that one done possibly. And then we're also talking to the same location of potentially doing a combined Riley County Health Department and Pawnee facility, much like the one that's in Douglas County, to facilitate those needs long-term for the community in the same location. So got some work to do to get to that point, to see what that's going to look like, get some cost estimates and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think our window of opportunity to maybe get those done as a priority is probably now. And it's something I think we need to look at and address.
That's interesting. And well, we know that the EMS has been a need here for a while, and I think that's probably moved to the top of the list here. That location, is that a is that most ideal place to be, just because it is kind of in the middle of town there?
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, there's been some discussion of maybe using our shop site for maybe EM and rural fire as well. You know, the space doesn't, you know, set up for that. But the ambulance is in a good spot. It's where everybody knows. It's close to the hospital, close to athletic events for the university, not too far away from Seco Park, Lafine, the university. It's not maybe an easy trip, but it's pretty close to the downtown sector in Aggieville as well. So they can coordinate, you know, events and stuff and at that location too. So I think it would be better than any other spot that either we have or would have to be able to get right now. It's just a matter of, will it work in that location and how we would go about doing that. I'm actually optimistic the space will work. The location will work. It always comes down to the end of the one most important factor, and that's cost.
Right. Well, the reason I asked, I know there's like an area up like Marlette and Denison that I don't know if it's all K-State owned there or not. If that would be you might have to do a lease there. That may be the case, but that seemed like that'd be a decent location there. If I was just thinking here.
Yeah, I think it's mostly university owned, and it's also privately owned. And to my knowledge, none of the private entities have that up on the market for sale.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's that'll be
interesting. You're not wrong on location though. There, I do agree with.
Right, that'd be a prime space there for, I mean, obviously the fire department's, the Manhattan Fire Department's up in that area as well.
And that's where university-owned property, too, and somewhere down the road, that's going to be an interesting conversation, I'd say, as well.
Sure, you bet. Well, we've got some other things going on here. The Riley County Fair is coming back. That'll be next weekend. And it sounds to me like it's going to be pretty close to a normal fair.
That's what I'm hearing, too. You know, there was some talk that the carnival was going to be very, very condensed this year, not due to COVID specifically, but due to lack of a workforce that I think Ottaway Amusement does that. He was able to subcontract, I guess is the right term, and find what they need. So it's going to be a full carnival. Looks like the booths and vendors and stuff will be somewhat complete. I think we're working on some other things on the fly, but I'm really, really happy. It's nothing else this year to see that the rodeo's back and a regular schedule of 4-H events. You know, 4-H kids work hard throughout the year to get to that point. That's their week to shine, and we just really didn't get that opportunity last year. So I'm really, really happy to, if anything, to see that back for 2021.
That's going to bring a lot more people back into the community, and obviously that's good for our local businesses, good for sales tax, it's good for everything.
Yep. It absolutely is. It gives everybody the usual chance to interact. We've got some of our components. They've got some new stuff. I think they've got a cornhole tournament or something that they're trying this year. So there's actually some new adaptations, some new things being added to it, some new innovations. Hopefully will take hold and stick around as well and make it even better.
You know, and I've told Gary Fike this before, but I, you know, the one time I've gotten to go to the Riley County Fair, I was really impressed because I've worked in a few different cities in Nebraska and Kansas, and everybody throws a county fair, but I always come back to that this is the best one I've been to, and obviously that speaks volumes for our extension office here because they do a really good job. They work around on this year round.
Yeah, they really do. There's different events and different things that kind of set up for this. They do a real good job with the usage of space, like everything in Riley County. It's tied out there. I haven't seen, other than last year, of course, I haven't seen really the effort and participation going down. Maybe it hasn't gone up as much maybe as we want. I think it stays pretty consistent, but it also depends sometimes on the weather. I've seen it 110 degrees. I've seen it raining 55 and everything in between too. So sometimes that plays a role as well. I think people this year in particular are wanting to get out and get back to normal means. So I actually expect pretty good turnout, pretty good year for the fair.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Absolutely. Well, you know, while we're in the kind of the conversation of facilities, is there any need there, you think, at some point to upgrade facilities at the fairgrounds?
I think at some point in time we'll have to at least have a discussion about that, what that'll look like, partners will be on board, what that may entail. It's tough to prioritize because obviously it's just 5 days out of the year, but
sure,
you can incorporate some other events and some other things that could be used on that space. It's certainly possible. The challenge myself with the idea of having to prioritize some other things right now, so that's not high up there on the list, but given the right plan, the right strategy, you know, somewhere down the road, I think that's going to be talked about at least.
Yeah, I mean, Potter Hall, of anything, is maybe more heavily utilized than any building up there, and it obviously played a role in the pandemic here and other things.
Yeah. And you know, the community rents that space for other activities and stuff throughout the year, so it does get used and probably is in need, if anything, of at least a facelift and a renovation for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know you got a lot of priorities out there. Of course, you can't just swing a magic wand and upgrade everything. It takes money and it takes a lot of time here to do all that.
A strategy and a plan and little ingenuity every now and again along with it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's certainly interesting to watch, and we'll keep watching these county meetings. I know you're a little bit of an NBA fan. You've been watching the finals?
I have watched two games of the finals when I had a chance to, not fully. like this Phoenix Suns team. They're young, got some good leadership with Chris Paul, and I'm a Kentucky guy, so Devin Booker's up there high on my list. And I was remembering back to the, I guess it was the 93 finals with good old Chuck Barkley and Dan Majerle and I'll forget the other guy, Kevin Johnson.
Yeah,
when they were playing Jordan and the Bulls, so brings back memories.
That was my first introduction.
Phoenix will win this one in the six games. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, yeah, that finals is my first introduction to the NBA, and I've been a fan ever since. And so,
Good deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Suns win it. I think it's going to go seven, though, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I want a seven-game series. Interestingly enough, the Phoenix Suns are the only team to play in two triple overtime NBA Finals games in their history, in 76 and in 93. So
that's right.
Maybe they can do it again here, and let's save it for game seven.
That was the series with the Knicks where the one guy sprained his ankle or something in the fourth quarter and went off in the overtime.
Yep, that's right.
His name, Willis. I forget his first name, Willis. I got a picture of him on my mind, but yeah. A little bit before my time.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Well, John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we look forward to seeing you again very soon.
All right, sounds good. Take care of yourself.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show here today. John Ford and Alice Massimi, our guests, here from Riley County. Coming up tomorrow, we've got Pottawatomie County Schools. We'll be talking to the new interim superintendent over there at Wamego. His name is Greg Mann. Kevin Logan will also join us here from Rock Creek Schools as well.